little baby, don't say a word. Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird. And if that mockingbird don't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. And if that diamond ring turns to brass, Mama's gonna buy you a looking glass. And if that looking glass gets broke, Mama's gonna buy you a billy goat.
Melissa Errico has performed on Broadway, TV, and the movies, but a relatively new role changed everything. She became a mother, and her most recent recording called Lullabies and Wildflowers, which includes a number of traditional children's songs, was inspired by the birth of her daughter, Victoria. I'm really glad that it has given Melissa Errico the excuse to visit us again on this show. It's always good to see you.
Thank you.
Lots of lullabies in this record, and yet you say this isn't a drowsy CD. What did you, were you worried that people might think it was?
No.
It's put only, them to sleep?
No, well, I think what I meant by that is that when I started receiving music, collecting music as a new mom, a lot of the CDs that were really geared towards unwinding were exhausting to listen to. They were really dreary or done with sort of a synthesizer, almost in a subliminal way, just to literally zone you out, and you could barely listen. And what I don't think necessarily all these musicians realize is how tired the listener is. And so one thing I wanted to make sure was that every lullaby, as caressing as they may be, or as, yeah, there's a Judy Collins song that I think is very, very peaceful and sensual, and I always wanted to make sure I had a percussionist on every song. Nothing is out of time. Nothing is meanders down a kind of sonic path that could just literally make you exhausted to hear it. I wanted the moms to have enough rhythm to keep them awake.
So this is really for the mothers as much as for the children?
Yeah, dare I say, this is where people sometimes found this an eccentric idea from the get-go, which is that I did make this CD for Victoria, but I very much made it as a gesture of empathy and compassion for a lot of women that I've been meeting along the road. I started a mother's group, which maybe I could tell you about, but it's a CD for the moms as much as for the children. If not, it's a CD for the children to listen to in the company of their mothers.
And it's very different from Blues Like That, your previous album. Did you find yourself actually singing differently after you became a mother?
Blue Like That has a little bit of the intimacy of this, but the vocal range of that was pretty broad, and I'm still using my theatrical background a bit. Even if it was understated, it was still performed, you know. I really wanted to sing in this case, and I did sing in this case, as if a child was in my arms the whole time. A lot of the tracks were done very spontaneously, very calmly, and without any interest in sort of how it came out. You know, a child doesn't listen to the mother and think, oh, you didn't hit that note, you know.
Although you do hit all the notes perfectly well.
No, I don't actually. There's a few that sort of aspirate into this kind of breath on tone and just kind of strange things that I thought, oh, no, after I did it, you know. And the producer said, oh, I love that. But I sang it also I just didn't sing it looking into the mirror, you know. I wanted women to hear it and just feel their own story happening.
And was your agent happy that you were thinking of doing something that was that broke with the image?
Well, my music manager actually was a problem. I have a record that I just made a year and a half or so ago with Phil Ramone and Michel Legrand, and it's not out yet. And it's a big symphony record. It's a beautiful record with Michel Legrand conducting, arranging. Mm-hmm. It's one of the great life experiences of all times.
And Phil Ramone is one of the greatest producers that ever lived. Well, Both of them have been on the show. I'm so thrilled to
really?
Report, yes.
Oh, gosh. Well, no doubt. They're both tremendous people. The CD itself is a mountain to organize, the promotion for. And in that, sort of facing that mountain, I became pregnant. I had this baby, and I started a mother's group out of a prenatal yoga class that grew and grew and grew, and now it's reaching hundreds and hundreds of families downtown. And I have volunteers, and I work with public libraries, and it's on all the schools, and we do events with Whole Foods and Bloomingdale's, and it's really it's been such a wonderful thing. I kind of my personal life just has this branch that's very fulfilling, and I wanted to make music in honor of these women. I also have heard some incredible life stories. My motherhood experience is just mine, but truly, when you take on what it is to so many women, it's the awe that I feel is incredible. I'm really not just looking into my own little world and saying, "Gosh, you know, Leonard, this felt so great. I had to make a CD." I really didn't realize until I had a baby how many women have had their lives rocked by this. It's not easy for everyone to get pregnant. It hasn't been easy always to raise the kids. It's such a joyful time. It's such a great transitional time, a time of growth. Anyway, I was very inspired to do this, and I know that I had another record to work on, but my manager did feel like I should focus and just stay focused. And
a lot of people very shortly after the child is born say, "Okay, now I'm going to go back to my career." You've been in an awful lot of shows over the years, and I'm sure there was thinking along those lines. Instead, you have pretty much cut back to a few concerts a month.
A few concerts a month, but I have started a whole different career since she was born.
So this is career changing?
Well, no, I've started a whole other career, which is separate from this record. I started working with a symphony booker. I've never done anything like even though it's a few concerts, you could say a few concerts a month, it's also at a level I've never done. I've never worked with the great symphonies in our country. So that's been exciting. That also allows me to not work 8 shows a week. But I'm pretty proud, actually, of that. I don't see it as a... Oh, I guess it is a compromise. It is a compromise. It's, you know, to be on Broadway is the ultimate goal, and maybe to work 24 hours a day, but you just can't do that as a mom. So I'm very lucky that I met a symphony booker and got the work I've gotten.
In all the shows that you've been in, have you ever played the role of a mother? My Fair Lady, no. High Society,
well,
no.
Well,
Dracula, I wouldn't want to think you were.
No,
Finian's
no.
Rainbow, Sound of Music.
You're right. Well, Sound of Music is sort of about becoming...
Nanny.
Right, but she's more than a nanny. She becomes their spiritual mother. But you're right, she doesn't give birth. Sunday in the Park with George would be it, because she was pregnant throughout. And I guess to me that was... There's no words. I had this pillow around my stomach and had to sing all these great songs about the child in my stomach and the you know, I need to get out and George, you don't care, and all these things. I did feel those things, but not like I do now.
The songs, as you point out, are wide range here. We have Tom Petty, Judy Collins, Gershwin, Lennon, McCartney, lots by Anonymous, of course, but also one by you and one by your brother.
Yes. My brother is a wonderful New York singer-songwriter, a great character, a great writer.
Mike Errico,
yeah. And he has a blog that's just subscribed. You know, thousands of people listen, subscribe to it. He's a wonderful, he's just got a great vision about things. And when Victoria was in my stomach, my brother gave me a Christmas present of 2 lullabies. He's been on this show, I think, yeah.
But is this a family of singer-songwriters on top of everything else?
There's nothing else. There's a lot of musicians. Yes, my father's a piano player. We get a lot of applause for making good music, you know, and very little interest if we were athletic.
Had you ever written a song before?
I had not.
I want to get to that athletic in just a moment.
That's true, actually. I did marry into an... Anyway... I did write my first song. I was looking for a song that would capture that feeling that so many mothers and all mothers would really remember, which is when they're so new and they're tiny, tiny, and they're just under your chin, leaning against your chest, and you're sleeping. They're so small and they're so sweet, and that feeling of having a baby right against your chest and sleeping. I mean, every father has a photograph like that, and it's just one of those precious, precious sensations. So that song, Gentle Child, is my baby, I hold you so closely to me, my child, gentle child, I feel your breath so sweet upon my face, my heart next to yours. It goes on like that, but it's that feeling of having that baby, right?
My guest is Melissa Errico, whose latest CD is Lullabies and Wildflowers. And you mentioned that your family wasn't athletic, but you married into an athletic family and someone you met in kindergarten?
Yes. I met Patrick McEnroe when I was 5. He was my older brother's best friend. We went to grammar school together. So if anyone's looking for a date, you must go back.
That's very rare.
People
find it hard to get romantic about somebody they've known for so long and known on another level.
I know. I know it's strange. It wasn't high school, because high school might be creepier, because maybe not, but I don't think I'd want to marry some of the guys from high school. But, you know, we grew up together. I've known Patrick my whole life. We re-met. We didn't see each other after he left high school. I think he was maybe 16 when I last saw him. So that would have made me 12. So I knew him the better part of my childhood. I knew his cat's name, Charlotte, and he knew my dog. He knew the back entrance to my family's house because we weren't allowed to go in the front door. And when we were dating again, when I was 25 and he was almost 30, we came to my parents' house, and he remembered we have to go in the back door. And then he said, oh, wait a minute, the soda is in the basement. My dad used to keep soda in the basement. So we had these memories that only, you know, an 8-year-old would recall.
Funny. And how have you worked it out? Does he like musical theater? Because you have performed the national anthem at Madison Square Garden for a major tennis match.
Yes, I am so lucky, but I have performed the national anthem for all the, you know, U.S. Open Thursday nights and the Davis Cup final.
But Pete Sampras
this year.
And Roger Federer,
That was tremendous. I must say, though, spiritually, there are two Davis Cup matches. One was right after 9/11, which was in Winston-Salem against India, which is one of the great life experiences of all time, to get to sing the anthem in the aftermath of that. Then in December, the U.S. played Russia and won the Davis Cup after 12 years of not winning, and Patrick was the captain. So we're assuming that everyone, your listeners, know the sport we're talking about is tennis.
Well, do you think Victoria's going to become a singing tennis player?
Well, okay, let me tell you one thing, that Andre Agassi, apparently, when he was a kid, over his crib, his mother had a string and a tennis ball. I mean, 6 months old, in a crib. So we heard about that, and Victoria wasn't even one. Patrick said, oh, my God, we got to do that. So we have a loft, and we have a string. It was a ribbon, actually. I couldn't find a string. I have a ribbon and a tennis ball, and she got a foam racket. And then, of course, Wilson sent a toddler racket. So she's been hitting a ball. You have no idea for how long. So, she's 2. It's just every day for a year. So she's whacking a ball. I do suggest people do that. It's so fun. You can play tennis anywhere.
And is she singing at all?
She is. Twinkle, twinkle, little stars. She sings sometimes until like 10:45 at night. It put her down at 9, and she's just, oh, my, my, my. So
your education has been odd because you could have become a gymnast, and then you went to Yale, and at Yale you had to leave because you got a job in Les Mis.
Not to forget, I went back and graduated. My parents would choke me if I didn't say that. I liked gymnastics, but I also had an injury. I had a knee problem, so I wasn't a great gymnast. So you're kind to say that, but it wasn't really an option. I was sort of a shapely girl who was slowly being thrown off the balance beam by her body. But I was a good gymnast, and I enjoy it. And you know what? It helped me a lot to break into show business, because on Broadway I've been known to do tumbling, high kicks. In My Fair Lady on Broadway, I did some true acrobatics, and they built set pieces on Broadway to actually be 4.5 inches, to be exactly a balance beam, because I would just fly up and just balance on something and then jump over here and flip, and then the maids would try to put her to bed and she'd come flying under the covers. And so I've had clowning actually was an early part of my career.
Well, your body would have become more feminine after you gave up the gymnastics anyway. Nadja Comaneci was here once, and
really,
she does not look like, you know, she does not look like that big shouldered, small hip girl anymore.
Oh God, you know, in my bathroom, my whole life, you close the door, and on the back was a life size picture of her, and that famous, I can do it like this. Oh, that's what she'd look like, arms up. Oh my God, I worshipped her. So she was here.
Yeah.
So she became a woman, of course.
Yeah,
it happens. Yeah.
you give up doing all of those practicing on the beam, and you become somebody different.
Well, I have to say, after Kids, I won't be doing a bunch of flips on Broadway probably in future.
And you say Kids. It's been reported, I think probably you're not happy about that, but it's been reported that you another one is on the way.
I'm pregnant at the moment with twins.
Ooh, are they boys or girls?
We have no idea. They are not. I had a pregnancy that I did lose early on, and I became pregnant right away, and I thought, you know, if I could just be blessed that this would stay. And the doctor said, well, I see a heartbeat and I see two heartbeats.
Ooh.
So I went from the shock of disappointment to now twins, totally naturally. I'm stunned right now.
Well, if they turn out to be boys, you're going to have to add to your repertoire?
I don't know. I'm speechless right now about twins. It's scary. So I'll take letters of advice from anyone about that.
Tell us about the last song on the album, Walking Happy, which was done by Sammy Kahn. It sounds like it's from an old record. You can even hear the static on it.
This track is the bonus track. It's the secret at the end of the record. It's intentionally been mixed to sound like something that might be on your mom's radio or something you're hearing in a distant apartment. It's the aftermath of the CD when the baby's in bed and maybe the mom comes into her room and puts on an old record or just has a memory of her own mother or something like that. So I love the song Walking Happy. I chose it because I love Peggy Lee, but I also chose it because I love the idea of walking happy. Not only the child that is going to learn to walk and hold their head up high, but also the moms. You know, becoming a mother should be such a time of such pride. And there's so many great lyrics that say, you know, there's a kind of walk you walk when somebody loves you and your heart's hopping like a poppin' jay. Just the idea that, you know, the world's all rainbows now, that you've got this new, it's a new wonderful time as opposed to anything to fear.
One more thing before we go out playing that song, by the way. The lyrics are included, as are the lyrics to all the songs.
Yes.
And one of the most charming foldouts I've seen in a while.
Oh, thank you.
Because this is also for mother and child, I suspect.
The artwork of the CD was done by an illustrator, Kate Neckel, who was in my prenatal yoga class, which was the foundation for this mother's group that I started called the Bowery Babes down in the Bowery. And there's a coloring book that comes with the CD, and all the children from our first class are represented on the cover as flowers, and each flower is different to represent how unique all the kids are. I could tell you, I knew right away when she was drawing them which kid was which flower. So the flowers on the cover each represent that wonderful differentness of each new child.
Melissa Errico's latest CD with coloring book included is called Lullabies and Wildflowers. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
There's a kind of walk you walk when the world's undone you. There's the kind of walk you walk when you're walking proud. There's the kind of walk you walk when the neighbors shun. There's the kind of walk you walk, sets you above the crowd. There's the kind of walk you walk, when somebody loves you. That's very much like walking on a cloud. Good fortune found you, Chappie. And your life's a happy Valentine. When you're walking happy, don't the blooming world seem fine.
Melissa Errico will be performing the whole CD live tomorrow at the Barnes & Noble store, the Tribeca store, at 4 p.m.